Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. The next 10 minutes are inspired by a skeleton and a stuffed animal. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the engine. We're starting up school again. Not a moment too soon. Oh, wait, they're not actually going back to school. My boys are not doing any in-person classes. They are going to be hooked up to their iPads with headphones. Various parts of the kitchen, I'm sure. It's going to be a little dirty, I got to be honest. It's not going to be clean. It's not going to be pretty. God, it's going to be what it is. And there's not much we can do about it, right? We kind of deal with this. We do the best we can. I mean, there have been great tragedies throughout history. This is not the same as, you know, like Hiroshima or Nagasaki or something, where people had to live off, you know, a funny type of Japanese potato, or they die for like years. I mean, we have what we need, and we're getting taken care of, and that's great. But it doesn't mean things aren't crazy. Right? And add to it thunder and lightning. So again, if you live around where I live in Danville, man, the thunder and lightning that came with 110 degree temperature 2 nights ago was unbelievable. And I was already tired, trying to sleep. All of a sudden we hear all of this noise. And what the hell is that? Turns out enormous windstorm. Right, so it comes through. We have a little kiddie pool in the backyard, one of the little blue plastic ones. It's getting blown all around. Our kids start freaking out because they hear like wah, 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 outside. That's bad. So then we're up with the kids trying to calm them down with that. And then the thunder and lightning comes. Just boom, these thunderclaps that are just, they rattle the house, and the lightning is crazy. And at one point, we just gave up. My wife and I were like, forget it. It's over. It's over trying to sleep. It's over trying to calm them down. Just grab the kids. We're up. And it also started pouring rain. Now, mind you, it was 110 that day. So we finally have our windows open at like 1 a.m. And then it just starts pouring rain and slamming us with thunder and lightning. I was like, what? What is happening? So my cowboy pool that I've spoken about very fondly many times gets completely wrecked. I have this redwood cover on it, right? These redwood fence boards, and I make this three-part cover, but the fence boards are not joined together perfectly, right? There's like a quarter-inch gap in between them, especially since they dried out, and, you know, debris gets in there. But it wasn't the debris. It was that it poured rain over these fence boards that have been sitting in the sun for months, and they bleached the water. So my wife goes to open the pool the next day, and the water's like a nice, beautiful reddish, right? She's like, well, there's no way we're getting in there. So, of course, she text messaged me. I'm at work. She's like, look, the pool's wrecked. We got to drain it. We got to fix it. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. So I go and I fix it. I drain the whole thing, drain it out to the street, drain it last night. And then I go out this morning and I'm scooping water into this bucket to get all the water out, clean it out as best I can. And I spend all morning doing this. And when I come inside, my wife had to take a phone call from the school because they're trying to organize something. And I walk into the living room and my boys are there throwing their stuffed animals up into the ceiling fan. It's like, oh, here we go. Damn it. And I say, stop, boys, stop what you're doing. And my oldest son, Marcus, goes right into politician mode. He's like, you know, I didn't start this. I'm just here. I was like, that's fine. Just stop. The three-year-old doesn't give a squat. He's going. He's like, I don't even exist to him. But the six-year-old understands what I'm saying, knows what I want, and keeps throwing a stuffed animal. And I tell him, I'm like, hey, stop throwing your stuffed animal in the fan. Does it again. Hey, stop throwing your stuffed animal. Does it again. Stop. Finally, my wife comes in. And she says, hey, go to your room. You're on a timeout. And of course, he starts crying a little bit and leaves. And it kills me when they do this because I don't care about the stuff now. Yeah, that's bad. But why is it that they couldn't possibly listen to me when I just tell them not to do something? And I immediately thought back to physiology and anatomy when I was in high school, taught by Mr. Wright. And Mr. Wright was a really cool guy. I liked him a lot. He was one of my favorite teachers in high school. He was young. He was into what he was teaching. No big deal. He had a skeleton out one day. We come in to look at the bones. And the school I went to is broke. So, I mean, the skeleton's barely hanging on, you know, hanging on by a thread. I didn't know that, obviously, when I walked in the room. I saw the skeleton. I'm like, oh, time to start messing with it. And he says right away, Matt, leave that alone. And I walk up to him. He's like, Matt, leave that alone. And I go to shake his hand. I pick up and I'm like, hello, sir. Grab his hand. And the skeleton arm falls off. And I was like, oh, no. And he was like, Matt, just put it down and go sit down. I was like, oh, shit. So I put the skeleton arm down on the lab table and I go sit down. I have been thinking about that a lot, especially in relation to my boys, because here was this teacher that I respected. I liked him plenty. And I liked the class. I liked being there. But I just couldn't. It's not that I couldn't. I just didn't care about listening when he was like, don't touch that. Because ultimately, what I was going through with my decision-making process is the same thing that my boys are going through right now. This is how they look at it. They say, all right, look, I want to keep doing this thing. Okay, for them, it's throwing stuffed animals. For me, it was shaking the skeleton's hand. I want to do that thing. Okay, he's telling me no. Now, I don't actually care that he's telling me no at all. Even though I, at 18, respected Mr. Wright and enjoyed the class, I didn't care at all that he was telling me not to do it. Just like my boys, I'm sure they love it, me. They definitely don't respect me the way I'd like, but I'm sure they love me. They don't care that I'm telling them not to do something. The only thing both of us cared about was what the consequence was for not listening. Right? What was the consequence for me going up and shaking the skeleton's hand? Well, Mr. Wright was really cool. He did swear at me once. I had it coming, let me tell you for sure. But in general, what was the consequence? It was almost nothing. What's the consequence for my boys? Well, my oldest one knows that he's trying to work on improving his behavior. He knows he gets these Harry Potter books that we could take away. He has a lot at stake, and he's trying to be better. He's a pleaser, and he's trying, okay, but he's 8. The 3-year-old doesn't really care. He hasn't really computed this. And the six-year-old gets it. He just doesn't care about any of the consequences. So he continues throwing his stuffed animal until my wife tells him to go to his room. He lets out a little wail, goes to his room, whines the entire way there, so further disturbs us. Then goes and does his time for like 5 minutes and comes back. In his mind, that's a win. In his mind, he's like, 5 minutes in my room playing with my toys, and I get to not listen and keep throwing the stuffed animal? Bet your ass I'm doing it. And again, I did the same thing. The problem is that I look back so horrendously at my behavior in doing that. I look back and realize the unbelievable lack of dignity and respect I showed the people around me. Because I see it now from my perspective. I see it now when I talk to my boys, who are admittedly young, and I ask them, please stop doing this. And they don't care about me as a human at all. They only care about the consequence of not doing it. And it's painful because I now see how much adults, some adults, and my wife and I specifically, put into caring about people and doing things because we care about them. Not because there's no consequence, or because there is a consequence, or because of this or the other. None of that matters. We spend so much of our time and energy doing things for people expressly because we care. And as I've been thinking about it more and more, I've realized that it's not something that comes with age. Because I know a lot of adults who do things just because they're afraid of getting in trouble. They either do things or stop doing things just because they're afraid of the repercussions. It's not care for people around them. It's not concern for being a morally defendable person. It's just fear of repercussions. And to me, that's a really, really scary way to live. And I know I can't really trust those people. I know I can't trust them because, in reality, what recourse do I have against other adults? Very little. You know, so it's not like if something happens, it's not like I can do anything. And it's also scary because most of the time when people behave that way, they advocate for you to behave that way too. And that's the biggest risk, becoming somebody like that. It's really easy. It's really easy to just have a very basic risk versus reward calculation in your head. Say, look, what are the odds she's ever going to catch me? What are the odds he'll ever find out? What are the odds? They might be zero. And if you become that person, then you have to acknowledge you're participating in the world where people just don't care about people at all. They only care about people as a function of risk and reward. And to live in that world is a world devoid of humanity. So, when somebody asks you for something or to do something, you should take a really hard, long look at what's guiding your decision. Because it could be guiding you into a very, very bad world. I'm Matt Todd, and this is The Engine That Drives Me. Go out and crush it. Thank you, everyone, and please do remember the essay classes are lining up daily, as are the SAT and ACT review. If you need some help, just hit me up.